In a world of conflicting values, where questions are more common than answers, God's Word provides everything we need to live a God-centered, truth-driven life. Join us now for the Word for Life, brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church and hosted by Pastor John Fallahy, as he shares the truth for the day.
Hi, this is Pastor John, Discipleship Pastor at Brookside Baptist Church in Brookville, Wisconsin. So glad you could join us as we continue our journey in the book of Exodus. And we are in Exodus chapter 20. It's hard to believe we're halfway through the book. But we're going to slow down a little bit and look at this chapter more closely. This is the chapter of the Ten Commandments. And last week we just introduced the first couple of verses. So let me read those to get ourselves refreshed. And God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And we talked about how the Lord redeemed the people of Israel. But this is not an Old Testament concept at all. In fact, this is a new concept, except being brought out of the bonds of Egyptian slavery doesn't apply to us. We have been delivered from the greater bondage, the bondage of our sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 reads this, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take away the members of Christ and make them members of a prostitute? May it never be. That's one of the strongest ways Paul can say, don't do it. May it not be this way. Or do you not know that one who joins himself to a prostitute is one body with her? For he says the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee immorality. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? And then here it is, for you have been bought with a price. You've been delivered by God himself. He redeemed you, and he bought you from the slave blocks. Therefore, glorify God in your body. 1 Corinthians 7:22 says the same thing. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. And later in 2 Timothy 2:21, another phrase is used. The Lord's bondservant. That is who you and I are. Now, this idea of bondage to slavery, bondage to sin, is critical for us to understand that Christ is our Lord and our Redeemer. Now, this house of bondage is repeated throughout the Old Testament, but one other passage I thought would be good to read is Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not set his love on you, speaking of Israel, nor choose you because you were more in number than any other people, for you were the least of all peoples. But because the Lord loves you, and because he would keep the oath which he swore to your fathers, that's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of bondage, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. And he repays those who hate him to their face, to destroy them. He will not be slack with him who hates him. He will repay him to his face. Therefore, you shall keep the commandment, the statutes, and the judgments, which I command you today to observe them. Now, this is so critical because I don't want you to miss what's going on here. The Lord redeemed. The Lord rescued. The Lord paid a price to bring Israel out of their bondage to the Egyptians. And because of that, he is now bringing them into a covenantal relationship to love them, to care for them, but there's a responsibility that they must be holy to him. And this principle applies to us today. That's why Paul says that we are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. So let me throw some questions at you. Do you see yourself as one who's been delivered out of the house of bondage of sin? Do you see yourself as one who's been bought with a price? And how are you currently serving your master, Lord, and Savior? Are you glorifying God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength, with your very life and lips? See, the implication here is that the foundation to serving our Lord and Savior begins with your redemption. But it does require a relational framework. Remember, redemption precedes regulation. In other words, the Lord just didn't save us for the sake of saving. He saved us because he wanted a relationship. Because when you and I were in bondage to our sin, we were rebellious to him. We were apart from any covenant. We did not love him. We rejected him. But when he saves us, we come under his lordship. And now our life is not our own. But again, as he redeems us, he begins to draw us to him. We become positionally saved in him. And then begins the sanctifying process where you and I become more like Christ. But how do we become more like Christ? How do we enter this relationship and change? Well, we become more holy. For the Old Testament, they were given the Ten Commandments. And remember, after they were saved. In other words, the Ten Commandments aren't to be saved. We obey, or they obey, the Ten Commandments because they are saved. They really are a guideline to a relational framework so that they can experience the intimacy and joy between a holy God and a holy people. And so when you look at the Ten Commandments, don't look at them as rules and regulation apart from a God who loves you and has saved you. Now, again, we're in the New Testament, so some of these commandments, really one doesn't really apply anymore, and that's the Sabbath. Christ is our Sabbath rest, but the rest are moral laws, and they are critical for our relationship with God. And again, let me stress, they're not there to save you. They're there for you to follow because you're saved. Now, the Ten Commandments can be split in a multitude of ways. For example, we could split the first five from the last five. The first five are the sacred, all right? They're dealing with the relationship that's vertical, man to God, from the inferior to the superior, to that who's in authority. And just a review of those, and we'll go into much more detail, but we have the first commandment, no other gods, no idols, the second commandment. The third commandment, no name in vain, which deals with profanity. Remember the Sabbath, that's dealing with Sabbath breaking. And then number five, I include in the first part because it's honor your parents, another vertical authoritative relationship. Now, the second half of the commandments, 6 through 10, I call them secular, all right? And I say that meaning that this is dealing with the horizontal. This is dealing with how one man and woman approaches another man and woman. This is man to man. The sixth commandment, no murder. Seventh, no adultery. The eighth, no stealing. Number nine, no false witness, dealing with perjury. And number 10, no coveting. Now, you can summarize these commandments in two laws or two ways, and Christ has done that. He said in Matthew 22:37, Jesus said to the man, what's the most important commandment? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And of course, he said that that was the first and greatest commandment. And then he says in the next verse, or verse 39 of chapter 22 in Matthew, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. So those first five commandments dealing with loving God. The second five commandments, loving others. And of course, Matthew 22:40, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And even though there's 613 commands in the Old Testament, all of them flow from these 10, which is pretty amazing. Now, if you disobey the commandments, forward or reverse, they lead one into sin and rejecting God. So this is why they're regulations for a relationship, not to be saved, but because you're saved. And so if you begin to disobey these things, you will move away from God and you will move towards sin. Now, if you follow the order of the commandments properly, they will lead one away from sin and to God. And again, not to be saved, but to be sanctified. And if you follow the order of the commandments in reverse, in other words, 10:9, no coveting, no false witness, etc., they may, but not always, lead to a self-righteous, religious works mentality. If you're trying to merit your salvation, if you're trying to earn your salvation, if you're trying to judge yourself, hey, I'm good enough. I don't covet. I don't perjure myself. I don't steal. I don't commit adultery. I don't murder. I honor my parents. If you're approaching the commandments that way, then you are doing a works righteousness. And that means that when you get to heaven, you will not be able to enter because you are not redeemed. You are trying to save yourself by the works of the law. And the only way you can save yourself by the works of the law is to be perfect with the law. In other words, 100% never sin in your words, your thoughts, your deeds. In other words, not even failing to do what you ought to do. And that is impossible for you and I. There is only one, and there will only be one. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ, who perfectly met all the conditions of the law. And that's why salvation is not by the law, but it's by faith. And when you and I trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ, not just knowing about him, but literally asking him into your life, pleading with him to rescue you from your sins, to forgive you, to redeem you, through that faith of confessing Jesus Christ as Lord and believing your heart, you will be saved. And at that point, you become positionally righteous with God. Your sins are forgiven, past, present, and future. And then begins your sanctification, the process of you saying no to sin and yes to obedience and righteousness. It's an amazing truth, these commandments. They are not to save you, but they are a guide because you're saved, because you've been redeemed. Now, the purpose of the law is summarized in Galatians 3:24 by Paul. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we, you and I, may be justified by faith. It's the only fair and just way, if you think about it, because it was based on works. Some people can work more, and some people can work less, and some people can't work at all. So it must be by faith. That is the righteous way. And that just makes me think of a favorite passage of mine, Romans 4:5, in the context of Paul talking about faith and justification. And it says in Romans 4:5, but to him who does not work, but believes on him, that is in God, who justifies, not the godly, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for or credited to for righteousness. And then verse 6 says the same thing, as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Wow, we're just getting started. And next week, we're going to pick up with the first commandment. But let's recognize this important truth. If you think you can save yourself by being good enough, recognize that all your good is tainted with sin. Therefore, your good works are like filthy rags before the Lord. Recognize that the Ten Commandments is not for you to be saved, but to follow because you're saved. And you will find no greater intimacy with God than when you are in obedience to his precious word. Well, thanks for joining us today, and we look forward to seeing you soon.
We hope you enjoyed today's broadcast. If you would like a copy of today's program or have a question we can answer, please contact us at The Word for Life, 4470 North Pilgrim Road, Brookfield, Wisconsin, 53005. For more info about The Word for Life, to make a donation to continue this broadcast, as well as other resources for your Christian walk, visit us at www.thewordforlife.org. Thanks for listening today. Tune in again next time as we bring the Word of God to your life.